Thank you ever so much. Welcome to The Long Shot. It is a podcast that we record every week without fail, except when we fail.
Yeah.
I am one of your hosts. My name is Sean Conroy. Also with me on the podcast today, as ever, the amazing Amber Kenny is here.
Hello.
We are so glad to be here. I am so glad to be anywhere. Can I ask you a question that you may not be able to answer for me?
Yes.
And if you can answer it, I'll be very grateful.
Okay.
How do we solve the issue of health insurance in this country?
Oh, that's easy. Okay. Thanks for giving me a softball.
I was on the phone for like 2 hours today talking to various people and got nothing accomplished in that time. I have to call back tomorrow.
And it's a full-time job.
Yeah. And it was, you know, it was almost like they were purposely gaslighting me. Like, you know, because every time you talk to a new person, they want you to say your birth date, your name, your phone number, your address. And there were people I was talking to, and I was like, yes, last name is Conroy, C-O-N-R-O-Y, first name is Sean, S-E-A-N. And they'd be like, so Shem Kondo, H with an H? And I'm like, no, that's not even close to what I said.
There's no H.
I was born April 4th, 1937. And they would be like, so that's onomatopoeia 11, 462 AD, you know? I really felt like I was going crazy. And it happened over and over again. Like,
You just put it in the computer and so the next person knows who they're talking to?
Your whole job is just to identify the person at the other end of the phone, and you are – so maybe it was like the office joke today was let's just tell people back their things are completely wrong, and that'll be hilarious. But it was – and then, you know, they would put me on hold. First, I was on hold a bunch of times at one place. And every 5 minutes, somebody would come back on and it was just silent. And then somebody would come on and go, hi, I'm sorry for the delay. I'm sorry for keeping you on hold. I am going to have to put you back on hold. Is that okay? And I'd be like, I guess so. Like, what am I going to? Yeah. And then that person had to be in like a three-way call with me when we went to the next person. And that person put both of us on hold, but instead of it being silent, there was like incredibly loud music. So I was just kind of like, it made me laugh because I was like, both of us have to sit here and listen to this. Like, we're still on the phone together and we're both listening to Alexander's ragtime band or whatever, you know.
So you couldn't talk to each other even if you wanted to.
And I wanted to. Courtney was very nice. I wanted to see like how her life was going, you know. Why she kept fucking up my birth date. Like, was it a joke? Was it on purpose?
She just can't believe your age.
Right.
You look and act so young. I don't know.
Yeah. I can't believe you were, I can't believe you were around when, Charlemagne was the king of the Holy Roman Empire. anyway, it was just, and then of course, like I said, at the end of the whole ordeal, it was like one person going, oh, I can't find – I guess they went home for the day, so you'll have to call back tomorrow. And I was like, if I had not been on the phone for 2 hours up until now, we would have gotten to the person we needed to get to. So what a treat.
And
so
only anyway, one person is the keeper of that information. Right?
No, sorry. Phil went home. He had to leave 10 minutes early because he had an appointment with his mechanic. He's having some trouble with the there's a light on his dashboard that won't go out and he doesn't know what it's for.
Well, no, he has to go home and call his insurance company.
Right. Like, no special treatment. All right. Well, as it turns out, first of all, I want to say this. I somebody on the internet somewhere, Facebook, or I'm assuming it's Facebook because that's where I see
just
these things.
That's just a handful of people. So that's really narrowing it down. Right.
Well, but it is a handful of people when you realize I'm talking about people who listen to this show.
Oh,
so
sure,
it actually
sure,
is very much a handful of people, a hand empty of people. It's an empty hand. You have an empty hand of listeners. But somebody was asking about old episodes. Are there old episodes available? And I was looking today. I was trying to, I don't know what I was trying to figure out. I was trying to figure out what episode, something. And I looked up the Long Shot on Apple Tunes, or what's it called now?
Apple Podcasts.
Oh, it's Apple Podcasts. See, I was on Apple Music. That's why I couldn't find it. Because this is, as sweet as these sounds are, it's not.
And our rhythm is rat-a-tat-tat, tat-a-tat-tat.
But it's not actually music. But what I did find was the first three seasons of this show are still available for purchase on Apple Music.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Feels not correct.
So if anybody wants to buy the first three seasons.
And where is that money going?
That's what I was laughing about. I was like, who knows? Like Steve Jobs is there's just a donation bucket next to Steve Jobs' grave, and that's where it's going.
There's another, a few options.
Yeah, it's going to the. It's probably going to the
closed bank account.
Well, I was going to say the Bolivians who robbed our bank account years ago. A day that will live in infamy. Did you go on a spending spree? Have you lost your mind?
You buy a lot of sneakers.
And liquor and hats and jeans. I mean, yes, I do. I certainly buy all those things on a regular basis almost every day. But
do you wear a baseball cap?
Do I?
Mm-hmm. From time to time. I can't remember if I've ever seen you wearing one.
It's not a regular thing. But
at a baseball game.
You know, sometimes I'll throw one on. You know, it used to be much more like, look, let's be honest. There's not a lot going on up here, you know.
Okay.
But back in the day when there was, that was a way to disguise, you know, a rack of hair.
Bad
that
hair
was thing. Yeah. Throw that on and not worry about it. So I have a bunch. I just don't regularly wear them. I have a lot of hats. I have two stovepipes. I have 11 cowboy hats, four baseball hats. It's funny. I saw a photo of myself the other day from somewhere. I don't know where it was from. It was like online or something. And I could tell when it was from because of the baseball hat I was wearing. Mm. Because it was like a hat that I was not a fan of that team, but somebody gave it to me as a gift. And so it was very specific. All right. So one of the reasons I was looking for – it's Apple Podcasts now, huh? All
right. That's where the podcasts come out. But maybe to buy something, it has to be Apple Music.
Well, I didn't even know there was a different thing called Apple Podcasts, or I would have looked there.
Well, it's just a different app. Like,
I don't keep up with the Apple.
Do you listen to podcasts?
I do.
How?
Apple Podcasts. Oh, okay. Fuck. It was right there the whole time.
Yeah.
I guess I should have known. Yeah. Fair point. But I was looking at YouTube comments today. So I found a bunch of people have commented on. Now, it's interesting. Our YouTube comments, a lot of them come from the same few people. Like they, which is great. We so appreciate people who are repeat commenters.
They find a platform that they enjoy.
Mm-hmm. But if you're not one of those people, feel free to comment at any time and start a streak. You know, start on one episode and then just keep going. And
We got to be like Duolingo or something and like give out stars so you don't want to lose your streak.
Right.
You want to comment on it.
Like the Jerry Seinfeld consistency calendar thing where you put an X on your calendar every day that you write something. And after a while, you don't want to break the chain of X's.
Yes.
So don't break the chain if you're leaving comments. Okay, so I'm just going to read some of these comments, and most of them have not a lot of compliments involved. So
thanks for the warning.
Yeah, I'm just letting you know. Okay, the first one is from Rob, and it says, now that Johnny Dollar has been dealt with, Candy Matson Yukon 28209 was really progressive for its time. A lady model turned PI was the lead. She was business-minded. She was sometimes aided by her flamboyant neighbor. It won an award for realism, but could not find a sponsor, so it lasted only one season.
Wait, what is the title again? Maybe that's part of the reason it didn't last, because it does not roll off the tongue.
It says, the title here says Candy Matson Yukon 28209, which makes it sound like it's like a cyborg or something.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that number's in there. But yes, this is Rob, who had brought up Johnny Dollar a while ago, an old-timey radio program. And this is apparently another one about a lady model turned PI. I mean, that sounds...
I mean, it sounds right up my alley.
It sounds fun, yeah. She was business-minded. She was sometimes aided by her flamboyant neighbor. Now, to me, that feels like code for something. Flamboyant, you know? It sounds like somebody who likes to throw parties and wear handkerchiefs around their neck. I also like that it says it won an award for realism. Like that.
I didn't know radio programs had like
that's
realism.
A weird, yeah. That congratulations to Candy Matson Yukon 822209 2.
You are the most realistic depiction of a lady model turned PI.
It's so dead on real to how
it must
be
like the acting is naturalistic or something.
But if this, like, I don't know what the time frame for this was, but I feel like all those radio programs were like the 40s and 50s. And that was back when everybody talked with like a mid-Atlantic accent. So it would have been like, well, I sure do miss my days on the runway, but I've got to go out and solve this murder. I guess PIs don't solve murders.
Is this real life?
Congratulations, you nailed that. Holy shit, I felt like I was in a real place. Well, I mean, I am in a real... I'm in a recording... Yeah, anyway, I'm putting you in for the Best Realism Award. Now, which episode should we pick? Should we pick...
Well, we need one with the flamboyant neighbor, for sure.
Yes. Anybody need help? I'm about to dress all in red and go to a black and white party because I am... flamboyant. No, I'm betting that's code for gay, you know? Like, I'm thinking that's...
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right. But they back then, they wouldn't have been able to outright say that either. So it would just be a character that's over the top.
Right, right. Okay, the next one is from Mr. Zastin, who says, I saw the new Mission Impossible last night. It was difficult to take the movie as seriously as it wanted me to as a listener of this podcast, because they kept referring to the AI as the entity.
Oh, that's right.
And I kept thinking about Clownvis.
I forgot about that. Yes.
I can't even remember the whole circumstances around that, but it was like I saw somebody perform at Jamie's. It was when he was running the improv and the whatever that other room was called, the Room of Infinite Jest, or what was the side room?
The Little Improv. What was it? Really, what was it?
It had a name. It was like the Velvet Cave.
Like the
top spot on the list.
I want to,
the Improv Lab. That's what it was
called. That's what it was. Oh, I was thinking like, what do you call when you add onto your house?
Well, there's a number of things. A porte-cochere, you know, where you just keep your car. Or the East Wing, like you can add
like a
wing on. Addition, the Improv Addition.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was the lab.
Yeah, it was the lab. And a performer went up that I felt was not something that I enjoyed. Apparently, you're not supposed to tell people when you don't enjoy a thing, as we all learned about Martin Short this week.
Wait, what? Tell me.
Oh, did you not hear about this? It was all over the internet. Somebody at Slate Magazine, which is actually a website, not a magazine, but they wrote an article saying, basically saying they did not care for Martin Short's work and they found him annoying. And people lost their minds and went crazy defending Martin Short as both very funny performer and a nice guy.
It's a weird, article idea. Just, picking someone at random and saying, I don't like them. I don't know. I haven't read the article. There might be more to it. But
No. I mean, that is basically, you just summed up 11 pages in a sentence without even reading.
And it's like, you know, you're allowed to not like people. And other people are. What's going on?
Right. But my question is, does that mean that person should not write that? In other words, I feel strongly about this thing, so I'm going to say this thing, and everybody's going to come back at me and say, you motherfucker, how dare you? You know?
I mean, yeah, I guess you're welcome to write it. I guess my instinct is, there's not a lot of there. There's not
it went on and on and on.
There's not a clear thesis. It'd be one thing if it was I don't like this person. And maybe there is this, but they represent this in the culture and this is why I don't like them or feeding to a broader point, but just not liking someone's work.
Right.
I just don't see the point of the article. I don't get it. I guess go crazy, write it, but what are you doing?
Well, so you think I should not send out my newsletter this week titled Mr. Rogers is a piece of shit?
I mean, I'm sure it actually achieved exactly what they were trying to
do. Right. Well, that's the thing.
It's the outrage clicks in the comments.
Clickbait, yeah. What's funny about it is the guy who wrote the article, and there's no connection between him and the orgy, but he is a former student of mine.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Back in New York, he took improv classes for a while. And
and anytime something was even kind of similar to Martin Short, he was like, bleh.
Or it could have been because I did every class we warmed up with the, here's what I hate about Martin Short. That was our improv warm up. Here's what I hate about Martin Short. His hair, his shoes.
Oh my God.
Here's what I hate about Martin Short. His work, his family, that kind of. So maybe that was an influence.
He just isn't a fan of his work.
Yeah, that's basically the whole thing. So I say all that because we had this person in the improv lab who I just didn't get what they were doing.
Right.
Just did not understand it. It didn't make sense to me. And I don't think of myself, and maybe this is misguided, but I don't think of myself as a particularly obtuse person.
You're dense. It takes you a while. I got to explain TV shows to you.
I don't pick up on things. So this was one of those times where you were not there to explain to me what was going on. And
Joe, doesn't actually feel that way.
I can't hear you.
Oh, okay.
But I just didn't. I was like, I don't get it. I don't get what's supposed to be funny about this. And Jamie was very defensive and very enamored of this performer. And somehow, I don't know, we were not supposed to mention it by name. And it started to be referred to as the entity. There's some weird dialogue stuff over the years from this show. Like, at some point, we should make a list of all the things.
Our vernacular.
Mm-hmm. A guide to what we're talking about when we're talking about various things. Okay. Here is one from Jamie Kaplan, who says, I also loved Barbie. Too bad Joe isn't on the podcast so we could hear the thoughts of such a prominent hashtag online male feminist about the movie.
It is too bad.
Yeah. He was very supportive of Wonder Woman and that it was directed by a female director. Mm-hmm. So.
And Booksmart.
Was he supportive of Booksmart as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He came in and was like, it changed everything. I was like, it was fine. It was totally fine. And I'm a woman, but okay.
Yeah. Well, he loved the wedding planner. Or I'm trying to think of what, like, of a I don't know specific movies she directed, but I was trying to think of a Nancy Meyers movie.
Oh, yes.
But Joe is not here, and I hope he's doing well. Joe, if you're listening, feel free to call in and let us know what you're up to.
He loves Point Break.
Who directed Point Break? Keanu Reeves? Did Keanu Reeves direct that?
No, it was a woman.
Oh, it was a woman? Okay.
I know that for sure.
Okay. Here's one from Rob. And some of these, so Rob, again, like I said, this is our second from Rob. And like I said, a lot of these are the same people writing in on a regular basis, which is great. But Rob's thing here, and this is where I get, I don't know how to take this.
Oh, here we go.
Because Rob says, the algorithm needs words.
Wow.
Do you know what that's a reference to? You always, these are the things where I'm obtuse and you need to explain to me. No?
I feel like we mentioned an algorithm at one point.
Well, the AI is an algorithm in, so the entity, but yeah, I don't know. Rob, if you want to elaborate on that.
But we won't know what he's talking about when he does elaborate. We won't
get the reference.
Our memory will be like erased. It will be starting afresh again.
It'll be like Men in Black. Yeah. Okay. Which, by the way, Men in Black, directed by a woman.
Is that true?
No. This next one is from Joe Fox, who says, this is a second from Joe Fox. He says, good sound. And that's because I know why that is, because we had one episode where the sound was just terrible. And I thought it was Amber's fault, and she thought it was my fault, and she was right, and I was wrong.
Because you're dense.
Because I didn't get it. Like, what the hell is going on with Amber's sound? It sounds terrible every time I talk. Why is her sound so fucked up?
She should stop that.
Why doesn't she let me talk and not sound fucked up? Okay, here's one from Dreamy Time Films, which is our friend Frank in Hawaii. And he says, it's just a quote. The incoherence of everything is so bizarre, quote unquote, Sean Conroy. And he spelled Sean Conroy S-H-E-M-C-O-N-D-O, Shem Kondo.
He works for an insurance company.
The incoherence of everything is so bizarre.
I mean, that is a t-shirt candidate, I feel.
Really? I'm assuming that I was referring to political stuff. Like I bet, yeah. Referring to like the way that the right wing twists themselves into pretzels about everything to be outraged about anything that happens. But yes, let's make it a t-shirt and let's sell it on Apple t-shirts. Do they have that? Here's one from Phil who says, this is bragging, but I walked 20 miles at my job at a food bank last month.
Wow.
39,000 steps without a day off in between.
That is impressive. That is worth a brag. I was doing a step.
Right. You were talking about steps and steps at work. And I'm assuming from the way Phil says this, that he did that all in one day, right? Like it wasn't 20. If it was 20 miles over the course of a month, then who gives a fuck? I don't care, Phil, you know? Just kidding. I love you, Phil. Phil is such a nice, I've actually met Phil and he lives in Canada and I've met him in real life. But I can't, because I feel like 20 miles over the course of a month is not that much. It's less than a mile a day.
But he said 39,000 steps a day or something?
No. He said, I walked 20 miles at my job at a food bank last month. So it sounds like he could be saying, I walked 20 miles last month, but I think he's just saying this happened once last month. 39, because he says 39,000 steps without a day off in between.
So like every day for a month, he walked 20 miles. That seems like a lot.
Or I thought it might be, Phil, you got to clarify for us.
we're so confused.
Because I thought it might be just that he did that one day. And maybe you're right that he's saying he did that every day.
Well, because without a day off is what makes me think
that he did it every day. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, Phil. I need elaboration because I'm confused. What's happening?
I'm trying to do some calculations.
About what?
About 39,000 steps. Is about
10,000 steps was a great Hitchcock movie, by the way, right?
Yeah, it took forever.
It was such a long staircase. Nick and Nora, I think, were the stars of that movie. Are you still doing, folks? If you're just tuning in, Amber is using a calculator right now.
So 40,000 steps is roughly 20 miles.
So maybe this was not as much as 20 miles. Maybe this was a little less than 20 miles.
I don't know.
I like how you're trying to tear down his accomplishment.
No. I was trying to explain, and I got further away. I thought I was going to get closer. Mm-hmm.
Phil, if you want to follow up, we'd love to know more. Here's another from Jamie. I hope Sean channeled his doppelganger 1982 World Series of Poker champion Jack Strauss when he played poker with his family after this recording. So that was like a... That was like a month ago when I played poker and he had sent in and I object to that likening. That picture was upsetting to me. I did not care for it. You look just like this guy. Dude, fuck. You know. Here's another one from Mr. Zastin. How are Alex, Jorge, and Andrew? I hope they're doing well.
Those are good questions.
I will say, Alex, I don't know where Alex is right now, but I get texts from him regularly about various things. So he seems to be doing great. Jorge, I see pictures of him on Facebook.
He's got like kids and
he's got two kids. He's still playing his heart out with his saxophone. So he seems to be doing great. Andrew, I don't know. I believe he's, when last seen, he was headed north on the Oregon Trail.
He was on our podcast like a year ago or more.
A little more, I think. But yeah, he was. It was right when he was starting his own podcast or something, right? And that's why I say he was headed north on the Oregon Trail because his podcast was about walking, I think. Ours is about calculating figures, but
ours is about not understanding anything.
We're changing the name to We Are Obtuse. Phil says, looking forward to Sean's film. So am I, Phil. So am I. It is so close to finished at this
point. That's so exciting.
But I can't move it along anymore. Mm. You know, I'm just waiting for it to be done. And once it's done, we can start moving forward with it. So that's, a tricky position to be in because I don't know. Like, I feel like I should be doing something, but I don't know what, you know, making popcorn maybe. Mr. Zastin says, was scared when no ep dropped yesterday.
Oh, yeah. We had a problem that it came late.
We fucked up. And, you know, that's what they always say about these kind of things is you got to release consistently or people just aren't interested. So I'm glad that Mr. Zastin stayed interested enough to listen.
Sorry that we scared you.
Yeah. Do you remember what happened?
No.
I think it was your fault. okay, here's another one from Joe. Oh, this is from the episode where we talked about the movie The Covenant, the Guy Ritchie movie that I watched on a plane. And he says, The Covenant was overly sentimental. The backdrop is how translators and other non-Americans were badly treated in the Middle East wars. But then they spent most of the movie showing how Jake Gyllenhaal would walk 7,000 miles and was a superhuman to help them. It ended up being, wouldn't it be great if the world was like this? It's not, though. A jumbled message.
Right.
For more typical, apolitical, unsentimental Guy Ritchie movies, I recommend The Gentleman, Wrath of Man, and a fun, less serious movie, Operation Fortune. At least two of those star Australian diver Jason Statham. So a lot to unpack here. I will say that Jake Gyllenhaal walked 7,000 miles in that movie. It was 39,000 steps.
And it was a month. I did the math. No days off.
No days off. I have not seen... Oh, I did see Wrath of Man. I think Wrath of Man was about a bank robbery, and I did not love it. I saw The Gentleman, and I didn't love that one. And here's a problem, is that I don't remember why.
Is there a sequel to The Gentleman, or is that a... I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking of, like, The King's Men or something.
Yes.
Don't listen to me.
Kingsmen, Kingsman, Kings... There's a bunch of them. Kingsfellas. But this was a different thing. This was
All Matthew the Horses.
This was Matthew McConaughey, I think, and and Charlie Hunnam from whatever that motorcycle show was, that the guy who was also on it is now writing every show on Paramount Plus, like Yellowstone, 1883, 1923, Taylor Sheridan, that's his name. He writes like 11 shows on that network. And he said he writes them in like a half. He's like, I write the script in like a half an hour and then I'm done. It's easy. Writing is easy.
Me too.
I have not seen I have not seen Operation Fortune, but I would like to, because he said it's a fun, less serious movie, and that's
sounds that's like what you I'm like about for. Guy
yeah.
Ritchie.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Okay, here's another from Phil. Today I walked 27,000. No, I'm kidding.
I gotta get my calculator.
No, he says, always interesting to see the first YouTube recommendation below Longshot podcast videos, which often are algorithmically associated with the episode title. Today, for me, was the movie Mission Kandahar. Very happy it wasn't The Sound of Freedom. So Mission Kandahar, I don't know what that is, but The Sound of Freedom was the movie about child sex trafficking or whatever that got very popular because...
people just bought tickets.
Right. It was, and I think that was in the movie. Like at the end of the movie, they say, you've seen this. Now go buy a bunch of tickets for all the people who haven't and let them come for free. I'd be interested to know how many people, if any of our listeners
actually saw it
or got to see it for free because somebody had already bought tickets for them, like just showed up to the theater and said, somebody bought me a ticket. I'm not sure where it is. Like, did people actually use those tickets? How did that go down? And by the way, I'm not that interested in that because those people are vile. So feel free to not find that out if you are the kind of person who finds those things out, which probably means you're a former model turned PI.
Realistic. Yeah. I sent you a text this week about the YouTube algorithm.
Yeah. What was that about?
Well, just
I didn't understand it. I'm so you got to. I was like, what? First of all, the first thing I said was,
"You're like, what app is this?" And I was like, "Sean."
I was like, "What is this Tidal?" Which I don't even know if that still exists.
I should have just written back, "Never mind." But no, it made me laugh and it makes sense, but because you kept referring last episode to the store at the Americana as And Just Like That, which is not the name of the store. It is the name of the Sex and the City reboot. And so under our episode YouTube thumbnail was a big Inside and Out, the new season of And Just Like That. And I thought it was funny that to be tied to And Just Like That so closely, but it was just an algorithm thing because we said And Just Like That so many times.
Yeah, I didn't follow
I know.
And of course, that is not the actual name of the store. The actual name of the store is,
And Other Stories.
Okay. Here's another one. Oh, here's the first one from Greg Hahn. Greg says, here we did circle, circle, dot, dot for the cooties, but that was probably the Canadian variant. So mine was dot, dot, circle, dot. His was circle, circle, dot, dot. So a totally different configuration of dots and circles to get vaccinated against the cooties. And I will say the things that are coming out now about vaccines make me question the wisdom of doing any of that stuff.
What would you would just say the words?
Or no. Like, you would go dot, dot, circle, dot. You would actually draw it on somebody's arm.
To prevent cooties or after a cootie incident?
Well, you can do it after, but it's too late at that point.
They're a goner. Yeah.
Or they're going to have happen whatever happens with cooties.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I'm just thinking now about what cooties are. Mm-hmm. I think that if you really looked into it, again, if you were a former model turned private detective, because it was just like, you're gross. Like, it was like, you're
right. It's like
too gross to touch if you have the cooties. Yeah. I'm guessing the origin of that is probably
like
when kids used to get
plague.
No. I was going to say lice. Like, the worst thing you can get in school is lice so that other kids get it. And
hot info off the presses. Kids still get lice. I've had a friend had her kid sent home from school recently with a lice epidemic,
that's why I think vaccines are bullshit, because
I don't think you can vaccine against lice. Can you?
If they're cooties.
I've never heard dot, dot, circle, dot.
Yeah.
But maybe I was the carrier. You know what I mean?
Or it's a regional thing. Like, this was before the internet. So some things just existed in some places.
I was in elementary school before the internet as well.
Right. So I'm saying, like, maybe it didn't, you know, did you have anything to protect you against?
That's what I'm saying. I can't think of anything like that. But I might've been
the person
what they were protecting against.
Yeah. Well, I might have too, but I feel like you would see other people doing it as well, you know, like, but it's possible that in your institution of learning, they were just like, you know what? All bets are off. Anybody can get the cooties at any time. So let's forget the whole dot, dot, circle. Dot.
Or I don't know. Maybe there was something, but I cannot, nothing's ringing any bells.
Yes. So you may actually have them cooties right now. Yes.
Are the cooties inside
they
the
can
house?
Go, they can go dormant, you know, like when people get shingles when they're older because of the chicken pox.
I did have lice as a kid, and all of my dolls had to be thrown in the dryer. And it was so sad because it made, like, it warped them in weird ways and made their hair weird. But you got to kill the lice.
Did I ever tell you the story about the bed bug? Well, you know what?
Save it.
It's a story for real life, not for the podcast. Because I had a whole thing, not me, but somebody I knew, and it was.
I think I have heard this.
But maybe I talked about it on the show before, but now I'm feeling uncomfortable. I don't want.
Okay, because I had bed bugs, and I talked about it on the podcast. But this was like 10 years ago now.
Thank God
to have 10 years behind that. It was an unpleasant situation.
Well, because the thing that happened for me was when I was living in the same building as Eddie, and that was right when I moved to LA. So that was almost 20 years ago.
Wow.
So it doesn't mean I haven't talked about it more recently. Like, sometimes with stories, you go back to them instead of, like, it's just what happened. Like, this show is very much about what just happened right before the show.
Sometimes we're inspired to tell old stories. Mm-hmm. Like, circle, circle, dot, circle, or whatever.
The doctor fucked up your vaccination. That's why Amber failed medical school. Okay. The next one is from Jamie, our old friend Jamie Kaplan, who says, approximately 24 minutes into the episode, Amber says, I like how it's like approximately 24 minutes. Amber says 100,000 miles per hour. Sean says that's the speed of light in space. 100,000 miles per hour is 1/6,696th the speed of light. The speed of light in a vacuum is 186,000 miles per second. So if we multiply that by 60 to get per minute, then 60 again to get per hour, we find that the speed of light is 669,600,000 miles per hour.
That is a lot.
That's fast. I mean, that is...
It's pretty fast.
It's almost like it could use the speed of light as a metaphor. For anything
also,
that's going
really
fast. I
also like that people have not yet picked up on the fact that you just say facts that are untrue all of the time.
Well, I even said that about the math thing on one of the episodes, that I will just, if ever math comes up, I'll pretend I know exactly what the right answer is. Even though I did used to teach science, and I know that 186,000 miles per second is the is the speed of light, which is represented in formulas by the Greek letter lambda. That's what you use as the it's not a variable, it's always the same. I don't remember what that's called. So I was not a good science teacher, but I knew a couple of things. But yeah, I'll say anything all the time on this show and people won't get it. Yeah, I don't know what the hell is the matter with you people.
They trust me and they believe me.
Why? Why? Okay, Albert Hall, my unsolicited tagline suggestion for Sean's short film, knowing as little about the plot as I do. This stop doesn't go as planned.
That's
but
good.
Whatever you end up using for a tagline, I can't wait to see the film. I like that. Yeah, Albert, good job. Well, we already talked on the show, right? About
how I won. I got it. I got the gig.
Yes.
I'm very pleased.
I'm going to have to send you my next script so you can come up with the log line for that before.
Happy to.
Even shoot it. Because that's the thing. For the next one, which is going to be a full-length feature, it's going to be about pitching it to people and selling it. And you got to have the log line to do that, you know?
I'm happy to help you with that.
I'm going to take you up on that.
I pitch like our marketing decks, but also to other people. I will pitch like the movie if it's too hard to get it to them. Like I will just do a short, and I am known for being able to do it very quick and clear. You know, like some people get too in the weeds about every plot line.
I talk about that in my classes all the time, about how you need to be able to pitch things in one sentence, one paragraph, and then a longer version, because people just can't follow. They just get lost when you're focused on this detail or that detail. Whatever.
And leave them wanting more, if anything. Like, let them ask questions. But
can I pitch you my next like, I already have kind of the idea of how.
Yeah. But do you want to do it on this?
Yeah, yeah, right now.
Okay,
so this
great.
is the pitch. And you said, like you said, always leave them wanting more. So this is it. It's a guy.
Too many guy movies right now.
I am fucked. Back to the drawing board. Okay. From Rob, do you need a voiceover for the movie? I'm cheap. Not
same.
I'm free. No, there's no voiceover in this. I don't even know where I would put any. But thank you for the offer.
Thanks.
And maybe next time, because the next movie, well, up until moments ago, the next movie was about a guy. Now, sorry, Rob, unless you can speak like somebody who's not a guy. And maybe you can. Phil says, one of my first concerts was the Stones No Security Tour in 99. Sean would have loved it. I am sure that's true. I've never seen
the
Rolling Stones in concert. I will say last night I heard a brand new Rolling Stones song that just came out. I think it's called Anger. And it's great. And that is fucking
They're like in their
amazing.
80s, right?
Mick Jagger is 80. Keith Richards is 79. And they rock the shit out of this song. So for anybody who's like, because I know people my age or maybe a little older than I am who are like, my life is basically over. I'm done. And it's like, Doesn't have to be.
Yeah, you get to decide a little bit.
Yeah.
I was just talking about that with my parents. Like, the guy I dated in high school, his parents kind of just decided that they were old.
Do you really want to get into the fact that you dated a high school kid?
I was also in high school at the time.
Oh, okay.
All right. Do you need to take that?
Hello. No, no. No, I said I was born in 1937, not 1924. They do that. They go, we'll call you back. Like, because the first part of what I did was I called and they were like, we are experiencing a ridiculously high volume of calls right now. Feel free to use our website to find out the answers to your questions, or you can leave a callback number and we will get to you as soon as. And so I did that and they did call me back, but it was like an hour and a half later and I'm just waiting the whole time. Yeah. And to put me on hold. Yeah. Motherfuckers, you know?
Yeah. When I was in high school, I was dating someone who was also in high school and his parents had just sort of decided to be old. And in hindsight now, they were probably like 49 years old.
Oh my God.
And they're just like, well, we're knitting and, you know, sipping our tea. And it's just like, I knew that that was a choice because like my parents were like tequila shots, you know what I mean? Swinging from the chandelier.
Right, right.
And they were actually older than my boyfriend's parents.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I will say that when I was in high school, I did a lot of knitting and sipping of tea, but now.
But like in a super cool way.
So cool. Because I was so cool in high school. The coolest.
We all were.
That's
why we all do this.
But don't you think? I bet. Yeah, exactly. I bet the Stones will go on tour. And can you imagine, that's like,
crazy
giant stadium or whatever with Mick Jagger and Keith Richards on stage? Like,
that's crazy.
Amazing. And I have seen, not recently, but within the last year or two, I have seen video of Mick Jagger like working on his dance moves and like he still fucking moves, you know?
That's like Jagger.
Like Jagger. Well, he can't help himself. He's been trying for years to move like Baryshnikov and he just is not capable of it. Okay. Here's one from Shane, and this is going to be on you to explain.
Oh, no.
One of 11 strong.
Maybe we were joking about having 11 listeners. Yes, I bet you're right. Is the only thing that
I can
think
of. Oh, my God. How do you – that's like a fucking magic trick. Holy shit. How are you able to? Because I look at, I'm like one of 11 strong. Okay, let's see. There's 11 players on a soccer team. So are we talking about Pele or Giorgio Canalia?
There's 12 days of Christmas, so it's not that. Well,
there was a movie called 12 Strong about the first special forces that went into Afghanistan, which, you know, obviously significant today because. We are recording this on – I didn't mean to bring it down.
But don't
we are
do it. This don't do it.
9/11. Yeah, let's not get into that. Okay, here is one from Naked Comedy, which is our old friend and former producer, Sam, who says, catching up on the pod, I found the podcast via Eddie, but I stay for the LA comedy industry scene gossip and for the perfect parasocial relationship – of listening to two friends chat, and I only have to respond via chat. Also, I've told Sean this, but when I can't sleep, this is a great pod to wind.
Yeah, we're down. Very, very boring.
I choose to take that as not, you know, you guys put me to sleep.
Yeah.
But more like this is just calming. It's not.
Yes.
It doesn't get you worked up. You're just comfortable. It's like hanging out with friends, not I can listen for 5 minutes and then I'm just out.
And we're not very screamy. I mean, we can be, but we're not very screamy. Some podcasts are very like screamy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I listen to Screamy on tape all the time, and it is it keeps me awake when I'm sleepy and I want to stay up.
Yeah, instead of drinking coffee, that's what you do.
Right. Here's another one from Shane. After some extensive research, it is officially the Cheesecake Factory. The Cheesecake Factory, not Cheesecake Factory. That is good okay. to know. Because
that is really good to know.
I did want to know that though, because I want to get an award for realism.
But I feel like, you know? I'm trying to just, maybe it's just like lazy Southern California dialect, but I'm trying to think, I don't feel like people are like, oh, let's go to the cheese. Oh, maybe they do. Maybe people say, let's go to the Cheesecake Factory.
I've never heard anybody say that because I don't hang out with people that would say that.
I have a corporate job, my friend.
Is it Soup Plantation or the Soup Plantation? Can you get back to us on that, Shane? Okay, here's another one from Joe. Next week, it's Amber's turn to go to a restaurant in the mall. Maybe she wears the penguin costume, including the head. Then there's the chance that someone will come up to her and say, hey, buddy, I'm a big fan.
Incredible.
Yeah. So I had a whole week this week without anybody coming up and recognizing me. So that was
I'm so sorry.
Depressing. And then the last one we got is from Phil, our old friend up in Canada, who says, Sean, please submit your film to VIFF for next year. I'd love to see you in Vancouver again. So I'm assuming VIFF is Vancouver International Film Festival. And I would love to submit that. And if I did submit it, I would love to get in. And if I got in, I would love to go to Vancouver. And if I went to Vancouver, I would love to see Phil. So
lovely. Hopefully
all of those things happen.
Do you have, because you were talking before about like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing now, but like, do you have a game plan?
An agent or a manager?
No.
I thought you were going to be helpful to me.
I'm not helpful. No. But for festival submissions, because I know there's like certain deadlines.
I'm trying to figure it out. Like I'm talking to a couple of people this week about that stuff. And
like different, like some you need a synopsis, some you need a sizzle or whatever.
What's worth it, what's not worth it. And a lot of them, they say you got to have a personal relationship with the people there. And, you know, so I'm just trying to.
And does it cost money?
It does. Often. Yeah. I mean, I watched a guy.
You have a very expensive career.
I watched a guy on YouTube who went through his whole festival submission process. And at one point he was like, this is how many I submitted to. And this is how much. And it was like, he spent almost $3,000 just submitting. And that's one of the things you want to know going in is like,
totally.
Is it even worth submitting this?
Right.
Because all the festivals are happy to take your money, you know,
of course.
They're not going to, and then you just don't get in. Sorry. We took your 50, 60, 70 bucks.
But you got some big names. Like, I feel like that gives you.
You're talking about my name, right?
Yeah.
I have a big name.
It's so big, but it's just the font choice. So I don't know.
And also that I have 11 H's in my first name. So that's Shem with 11 H's. Yes. Yes, it is.
I feel like between you and the cast.
No. You're right.
I feel like people will take it seriously. It won't just like you might get people to actually watch it is what I
mean. And they will accept it just for that on the off chance that those guys will come to the festival, which would add to the prestige of the festival that they had these actors there, which helps me ultimately, even though that's not the reason that I cast them. I cast both of them.
Because they were right for the part.
No. Nepotism. Mm.
You love their fathers?
Yeah. I'm just going to openly say it. Yes. I love both of their fathers. And I cannot tell a lie. It's true. I always state true facts on this show. All right. Well, that's our YouTube comments for the week. I guess it's time for a segment on the show that we like to call Parting Shots.
Mm.
So why don't we start Parting Shots today with Amber?
Okay, I'm going to do two-pronged because I was prepared for checking in and parting shots.
Right.
But I'll do it nice and tight and right, but you could ask follow-up questions.
I can't wait.
First of all, I wanted to follow up. I saw my family again this weekend. We had like a family reunion in Oceanside, and Smudgy came, Jeff came. This was like, it wasn't just my parents and I, it was also like two of my mom's oldest friends, and one of their husbands, and then my brothers and one
oldest
of my
in that they've been friends for a long time, or just oldest in terms of these women are both 90 years old.
It's both. Becoming synonymous. Yeah, no, they've been friends for a really long time. Like,
one of by the way, women, I don't mean to assume that they're both women.
They are both women.
Okay.
But one of the women is my godmother, and she was literally present when I was born.
Wow.
And she tells me that every time I see her, and I'm like, sorry, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. But and yeah, both my brothers, one of my nephews, and my brother's wife, Katie. So it was a lot of people, and I, like, things did not go so well last week. So I was not
mostly Smudgy's fault.
Yes. I was not optimistic about it. And it was also a longer drive. It was down in Oceanside. And so I was like, all right, let's do this, family. I looked at my horoscope for the day, and it was like, you're going to feel real intense emotions. And I was like, no, not today. Please, no.
And but, that was, you're a Scorpio, is that correct?
I am a Sagittarius.
Yeah, of course you are. Of course you are.
I am so such clearly.
You are such a Sagittarius.
I'm such a Sagittarius.
Fucking archer.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Always running.
The bull.
No, that's Taurus. But what was I saying? So yeah, I was like, we're gonna like have the best attitude we can, but I was not expecting great.
You did not have high hopes. They call them family obligations for a reason.
Yeah. I did not have high hopes, but I was like, we're doing this. It's important to everyone involved. Hopefully
it was like when the American troops landed at D-Day. They were like, I don't want to be here, but I know I have to because it's for a good reason.
Right. And also, we were responsible for bringing dessert, but we were told specifically like cookies or something, like not anything that you would need to cut or plates or utensils. Like, it's supposed to be real easy, sort of picnic style. So on the way down there, I got some cookies, but I got two dozen cookies because I was like, that sounds like a lot, but they ended up being like the teeniest, tiniest cookies. And so I was making fun of myself that I was like, I brought dessert. And it's like,
everybody gets a bite of dessert.
Yes, you fat asses. Like,
I don't know if I would be able, I would just go, no, thank you. Because,
oh yeah, I did. But it ended up being exactly the right amount. That was fine. But anyway, I also.
Is what everybody told you?
No, it was still there. It didn't.
Don't eat Amber's cookies because she'll feel bad if. No, yeah. She'll feel bad if she realizes there's too little of them.
So also, I had the great idea because the weekend previous went so poorly that the vet had given Smudgy anti-anxiety medications to give him the next time he came into the vet. That was like the entire point. But I was like, and we hadn't used them yet. And I was like, let's use them, huh? And so we gave him a dose of anti-anxiety medication and cheese. And we drove down there. Beautiful day, no traffic, super easy. Got there no problem. Got there exactly on time. And there was like a yard that looked out onto the ocean, and Smudgy was running around like crazy. And I was like, by the way, this is him on medication that's supposed to make him drowsy. But like, it was great. Like, I'm not telling the story well, but I had such low expectations, and it was super great and wonderful. And I think because there were so many people, and so few dogs. It was just smudgy. That like the energy was really dispersed. Everyone was really excited to see each other. It was just really great to see my parents hanging out with friends like that. I don't know. It was a fun dynamic. And it was all great. And we went home and I was like, well, here comes the other shoe. We're going to sit in traffic for 4 hours. And we got home in like an hour and a half. And I was like, oh, so it was just a good day. Like,
today was a good day.
Okay. Didn't expect that. But yeah, so
I hope you wrote that in your gratitude journal that night.
I did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and Smudgy was feeling the drugs a little bit. At one point, everyone's like, have Smudgy do the tricks he knows how to do. And he was doing them, but all kind of slowly. And, right. and like my brother Matthew, who doesn't know Smudgy very well, is like, this is the problem dog that everyone's been talking about. I was like, he is stoned out of his gourd right now.
Right,
and
right.
Everyone started laughing.
He did like 11 bong hits in the car on the way down here. Yeah.
And so did Matthew. So it worked out.
Perfect. Same.
But yeah, it was really nice.
Oh, that's great. And you said you had two prongs to your...
Yes. The other one isn't as nice, but COVID...
We like to mix it up on this show.
I know. I guess I should have switched the order. But COVID is like... back again. Mm-hmm. And it is encroaching, and there's been multiple cases of COVID in my office.
Oh, great.
Yeah, love that. So I just haven't been going to the office. I've been working from home.
Oh yeah.
But like, so every day there must be like some automated system, but every day I get like three emails that are like, it has come to our attention that there has you are to do. And
sorry, I lost you for a second there. You froze up.
Oh, like every day I get at least three emails that are like, it has come to our attention that you've possibly been exposed to COVID, but they won't name names. And they'll say like on this date. And then I had a bunch of emails that were like, you didn't have direct contact, but like, please test and wear a mask.
We have reviewed the closed circuit television footage from when you walked to the bathroom on Tuesday and you passed right by someone who has COVID.
And then, but today I got my first one that was like, you had direct contact with someone who is positive for COVID. And so here are the options. And I'm just going to tell them to you. And I want to hear what your gut reaction is. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to test for COVID, obviously.
Sure.
If you are negative and don't have symptoms, you are allowed to go back to the office.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask you to wear a mask and to test like every 3 days. Or you could just not go back to the office for 10 days. And I was like,
if you test negative and are not showing symptoms,
you don't even have to test. You could just not go back to the office for 10 days. And so I was like, I'm just not going to go back to the office for 10 days, but I'm still going to test. But
not an option. Not an option.
But I was like, I don't want to get COVID even. And I don't want to wear a mask all day.
Yeah.
It's weird that anyone's opting for the first one to me, but whatever.
It's a crazy mixed up world we live in. You know?
It's insane.
I think that's a Paul McCartney song, right?
Yeah. But yeah, today I got an email that was like, it's actually, the situation has escalated. And so we will be sending you tests whether you opted for that or not. Because I was like, I opted to stay at home. But yes, send
See, this me a is, test. This anyway. Is so fucked up that this is going on, because this is totally, you know what this is? This is the Biden government taking over and getting involved with one world. This is how they control you. They're like, stay home, wear a mask, test for COVID, be afraid, let us be in charge. Do not live your life, let us be in charge. This is totally the Biden government taking over. Black helicopters next. That's what's going to happen. The United Nations troops are going to come in and take over. Just wait.
Okay.
Not now. I mean, don't wait right now. This episode is like 48 hours long. They finally decided not to wait anymore.
But yeah, it also people, I was the first day that it came out, I was like, well, I'm going home and I'm not coming in tomorrow. And they were like, why? People were like, why? Because you don't like working here? And I was like, yes, but also I do not want to give my elderly parents COVID. Like, I'm sorry right. that that's an unreasonable
I mean, unfortunately, that is the problem, is that the disinformation and bullshit has really won in the dialogue. And so most people are like, don't tell me about COVID. I don't want to know. I don't care. I'm right. not interested. It doesn't matter. None of it matters.
Well, and I have... I guess I'm sending out mixed signals because, like, I'm participating in quasi risky events. I went to Taylor Swift. I went to Beyonce. I went to Las Vegas, but I still
don't
want to
get it.
I don't want to get COVID.
Yeah.
So if I know I'm in a situation where somebody definitely has it, I'm not super stoked about actively heading into that situation.
Have you had COVID before?
I have. Did not care for it. Yeah. Was not a fan.
I give myself the .. vaccine every day. To keep
I know. I can't believe you're like the last person I know.
I still haven't had it.
It's crazy.
Knock on plasterboard or whatever this desk is made of.
But two of the girls who tested positive for COVID first in the office were together at a Beyonce concert in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And one of them was like, tell Amber to go home because she was there too. And I was like, I saw Beyonce 2 weeks earlier. it's not like Beyonce gave it. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. The air is the same when you
Every
come back.
Person at this stadium has COVID now.
Yeah, yeah.
And she will, like for 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. Man. Oof.
I know. It's not fun.
People are, yeah.
Well, and it was stressful a week because I knew that my parents were really excited about this family reunion. So I was staying at home, but I also wasn't keeping them abreast about the COVID outbreaks because I didn't want to give them things to stress out about. Mm-hmm. But I was testing every day because I was like, there's a possibility that it's positive one of these times and I have to like break their hearts that I can't go to this reunion. But I
how are we gonna get dessert? Amber's bringing dessert. He always brings like four cookies when there's like 25 people here.
But anyway, that is my parting shot.
She doesn't bring four cookies, she brings tiny cookies.
But for a little like dollhouse cookies.
I bet your parents will love the impressions I'm doing of them. All right, here's my parting shot, and this is scary thing to say out loud, but I am for the 599 billionth time. I don't even want to say this, but I'm trying once again to learn to play the guitar.
Oh, cool.
Because I want to be able to play it, you know, and like sing or have other people sing or, you know, sing together and have an instrument to accompany. And it's, you know, like I said, it's a thing that I've been trying to do for decades and I just have never followed through on it. And I found this guy on YouTube who teaches lessons. I mean, he teaches them on YouTube. He's not, there's a whole COVID thing going on. I don't want to have him come to my house, but he says.
Probably like, be more expensive that way too.
Right. Well, who knows? The way the economy is right now, you know, he may be.
Coming for free.
Thanks for that, Joe Biden. But one of the problems I've always had is like no immediate progress, right? Like you just it's a thing you have to do. And for me
delayed gratification.
Well, it's delayed gratification, but also I don't know if you've ever tried to play the guitar, but when you start, it fucking kills your fingers, you know? And so his thing is like, just play 5 minutes a day, try to play 5 minutes a day for a couple of months and realize it's going to take that long. So I'm really making an effort to do that. And
that's
so far,
awesome. So far
I've done, I was going to say a day in a row, but that was really only one day because that's not in a row. No, I did it all last week for at least 5 minutes a day. And I did it today for 5 minutes and my fingers hurt so bad. So, so far, no improvement, but I'm going to try to keep doing it and we will see. So maybe in 2 months, I will
come on
the show and play Stairway to Heaven.
Love it.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see.
That's awesome.
So that is our show, folks. That is what we have to say. Please leave us comments on YouTube. Send us emails at amberkenny@aol.com/time machine. Like and subscribe. Subscribe to our the Long Shot YouTube channel, which is Sean Conroy Gets Happy.
Clearly.
And we will see you next time on the show. Bye.
Bye.
But it's just one step above a stick in a torn up bandana. It's hard to love. It's harder still to join. The highway stars in a world of high calorie protein bars, and a trophy for the leader of the double dippers. And I wanted you so bad, but I